Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Sum of You show. My name is Elisa.
My name's Liz. Hey, girl. Hey, baby girl.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. How are you today, my love? Yes.
Doing well. I got some good sleep.
Good.
I've really been trying to follow the, get to bed around 10. So I didn't do it the other night. I ended up staying out talking to some friends. I got home around 11, and I'm like, oh, I'm so tired.
Good, though, because you're resetting.
I just had to catch myself. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I knew I should have set some type of alert, like, hey, 9:30, time to head home. But I was glad I was being social. So,
but that's the whole thing. So you swap it out. It's like yeah. swapping spaghetti squash for pasta. Like you're swapping it out. It's good.
Right. Yeah, so it was good. And so, I've had a bunch more dreams and just finished writing some of those down in my little diary. So it's good.
Good. Are you still there? Or did you cut out? Okay, you're there.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, girl. So what's odd is that circumstances really haven't changed, but I have. So again, we could have a day or two in between shows, and a whole lifetime can take place by the time we're back on the air.
Right.
And of course,
right.
why? Why break the streak? So from Tuesday to today, there were the state mandatory tests, and my youngest, who is brilliantly amazing, and just I have to remember the 12-year-old brain. Like, okay, Mom, if you just sign a paper, I can opt out. I'm like, no. Just trying any way to work his. If he took the same energy for working his hustle, he'd be like in Mensa. Is that Mensa?
Mensa.
Clearly, I'm not a member. Anyway, don't even remember what it's called. Clearly, but I get it. I hated school, and I was an average or above average student, but I also knew to work within the system and not give my mother a nervous breakdown.
Right.
Which, everybody's wired differently. So he was really trying to work the system yesterday by delaying going to school so that he wouldn't take the test. And I'm losing my mind. But what's interesting is that since the show, because I am now meditating in increments all throughout the day and practicing mindfulness all throughout the day, not because I'm trying to reach a goal, but it's a coping mechanism. And I think in doing that, something has switched in my brain. Because I have every reason in the world to be racked with sobbing tears, and I've done it so much where I start the day crying, I end the day crying. And for 24 hours, I have not shed a tear, although the circumstances are really not that different. So I find that very interesting. And I do want to mention that I'm on a I've been meditating for months now just out of desperation and needing to survive and get through this very painful period that's been going on for well over a year now with the end of the marriage and all of that. And I don't know the status of the divorce. I have to wait till the very end of this month, beginning of next, to touch pace with the divorce center that they're monitoring my paperwork. So I really don't know. I just know it's out there in the universe. That's good enough for me. The fact that papers were signed, good enough for me. I don't care how long it takes. The papers are signed. Good enough for me. That's fine. But to just get a little bit of relief. So in knowing that the meditation was keeping me from being suicidal, not joking, and from just feeling so depleted and overwhelmed, and also how this affects your brain. I had a check in my bag that I forgot that I needed to deposit. Like when it's coming to stuff like that, okay, when this is like single mom realness, like I got to cross my T's and dot my I's. Hello. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I have to get my beep together. I really got to get my beep together. And I looked at myself in the mirror like 3 or 4 days ago, and I'm like, who is this old haggard person?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no. I'm too vain for that. No. So I actually did some Reverend Adam homework, and what he recommended, and I recommend this also, was purifying bath. And it's like 2 cups of milk, rosemary, and about a cup of sea salt in the bath. And I took that bath, I put a facial mask on, and I'm like, I have to just switch this. I got to switch this. And that felt really, really good to do. He also recommended that my kids do it too. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get them to do it. But I don't drink cow's milk anymore.
Yeah.
What's so great. Because he said the cow's milk would be, I'm like, I have almond. He's like, no. I have switched really to almond milk for everything except for the half and half of my coffee, because some things just got to stay pure. Like, I'm not going to have no almond butter on my toast. You know, I'm going to have some butter. Because I got to keep it real. But in terms of milk, like cereal, smoothies, whatever, almond milk, I buy it by the gallon. And
yeah.
Love it. And it's just such a lighter vibration than cow's milk. So I go to the supermarket. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do Reverend Adam's homework. Lo and behold, milk that was like a day or two before the last date for being sold. Child, it was on sale for 99 cents. I said, thank you. There's my bath. Thank you. There's my bath. And I was, as you know, we've been talking about making these little tweaks and adjustments to my home until my girls from Atlanta come back to, you know, do part two or whatever, if I'm lucky enough for that. So I've been thinking about my bathroom. And I said to myself, I want my bathroom to have the essence of a spa experience so I can create that at home. And what inspired me was taking that bath. I'm like, this smells nice. You got the rosemary, you got the milk, you got Spotify playing Zen whatever, you got these things. And I said, I want to see if I can find something that will work for that. So I'm going on Amazon, I'm going on Wayfair. I'm like, oh, that's okay, it's interesting, whatever. So I said yesterday, let me take a pop into the Salvation Army around the corner from my house. Well, for $9.99, I got a piece of spa furniture that literally looked like it probably could have come out of a spa. It's crazy. I blessed it. I cleaned it up. It's in my bathroom. And there you go. So
what is it?
What was it?
Well, yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's crazy. It's something that you would see in a spa. It's this wood rectangular narrow column with the base on top, so you could put things on it, and then three good sized but compact wicker baskets in three different compartments. It looked like where you could put your towels, your oils, your this, your that. It looks like something you'd see in a spa. $9.99.
Nice.
Yes. So
I'll tell you
what,
y'all, Liz is like the queen of Salvation Army shopping.
I have the goodwill.
She has that eye for it. She's like, my mom can do that too, in any type
it's
of
sonar.
Shop, you'll find like the best bargain, and it's like, what? Where'd you find that? Oh, I only got it for $2 at you know Macy's,
yep,
or whatever.
Yeah, the boots you borrowed. Hello.
I know. She's amazing. You're just
it's a gift. Friend. But you know what? I learned really young. Back in the day, there was when I was a child, there was a period of time where my mother was really scraping, and although we lived in this amazing apartment, there were times where there was money and there were times where there was no money. So
right.
I kind of know what both feels like. And
mm-hmm.
there was a time where the only place she could afford to for like housewares and clothes for us was the Salvation Army, but she made it fun. So I used to go with her all the time, and that's how I learned.
Wow.
And I remember being 8, 9, 10 years old. And then it became a thing that turned into fun. So even when things were financially better, my mother went to work and did her thing and whatever, that's like a fun thing to do. And I actually occasionally in recent years, but it's weird. And now that I'm talking about it like this, it's making me connect the dots that was a, even though that was a rough time in our household, and primarily a single mom household, because my father would just come and go, but mostly go, that's been kind of like a little bit of therapy for me. Let me just go here where I'm not going to run into nobody. and I do have that instinct. And let me, it was a way of treating myself without breaking the budget and just going on a discovery. You know, so I'm, and I, you know, let me find a few things for the house, or let me find this, or let me find that, or, yeah, so that, it's really been kind of a coping mechanism, and now it's just part of my routine, where I would do it a little bit, or not as frequently, when it was still a two-parent household, but I had no financial privacy.
Right.
So I would have to hand in receipts and say what they were for. And I thought that was normal. Yeah. I thought, oh, this is great. He's taking care of all the, like it's making things easier for me. So I'm not even blaming him, but I didn't realize that was, I'm not even blaming him on this at all. It was restrictive of my freedom and my personal space. And then I would get comments like, if let's say I would charge something at Goodwill on the debit card, you know, what's this $22? I'm like, oh, God, help me. Because this mid-century platter, that probably is worth $150 that I got for $8, but whatever. I really know how to shop like that, like, brilliantly. I am so, so good at it. And then Wednesday is family day, so everything's half price except for one color ticket that they say. So, you know, I go on Wednesday. I found it Wednesday, except for furniture, but I pay my $9.99. You'll see when you come back. You'll see, like, the spa bathroom vibe. And there, and what's what gives me joy is I come back with my stuff. Like, I got a dress from Banana Republic, child. It was half price because it was family day. I think I paid $8.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. I got to look cute. And then what I do is I Google everything, and I figure out what the retail is, and then I add it up based on what I paid. And it's always like, it could equal like $300, and I paid like $33 for everything.
Right, right.
It's just joyful. It's just, it's a great self-care, self-love technique that's fun, it's discovery, and it's affordable. So it really has been kind of like therapy. But the other thing I wanted to say with things shifting, or myself shifting, and therefore the circumstances are on the verge of shifting, I've gotten into, I think I might have said this on Tuesday, I've gotten more into the space of surrender, to accept things where they are. I just pray to the baby Jesus that my babies are good, that everything's going to be fine. Let me just be in that grace and not fight this anymore. So when he was resisting, not wanting to take this state test and this, that, and the other, finally I got him out of the house I guess what he thought in his mind that it was too late for him to take the test because he was trying to hustle.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say it was after 8:30. 8:31, he calls me to say, it's too. If he's not even a block away, it's too late for me to take the test. I hung up on him. I just hung up on him. I hung up on him. And I texted, because I'm in close touch with all of his teachers, the school therapist, everybody. And I texted the school therapist. She called him. It came up as an unknown number, so ha, 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 ha. He picked up the phone, and she said, everybody who's taking the state test is waiting on you.
Okay.
So get over here. And they held it.
Oh, my God.
That's some gangsta. That's some gangsta stuff, right? That's a gangsta move. And I have him on the GPS. Thank you, Jesus. So I saw that he went to school. He took the test. I didn't say. I was just so relieved. And I was just tapping into that vibration of relief and not falling into that pattern of, there's that psychological term, I'm going to say it, pronounce it incorrectly, catastrophize. There's a term when you just go into catastrophication. No, I can't say it.
Catastrophic.
But there's a psychological term where you make that like act of catastrophize. It's like ing at the end. I can't say it.
Okay.
It's the word. Anyway, when you go into that, your default setting is that it's a catastrophe. And then,
mm-hmm.
and I really was falling into that pattern where, you know, where I was feeling the wounds of every mother that's ever lived. You know, it was just too much, just on my knees, just shaking, just bad. Like I said, I cannot go to the psych ward. I have to remember to deposit my checks. I have to clean my house. I have to hustle for work. I have to feed my baby. Like I got stuff I need to do. And I'm out there. And I'm in an industry
right.
that's very out there. I really can't hide someplace. I'm out there, and I got to keep it together for as long as I can keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
So I found an app. I'm on a 7-day free trial. It's called Aura, A-U-R-A. It's a mindfulness / meditation app / life coaching app / whatever. But what I like about it, everything's either 3 minutes or 7 minutes. So, and you have reminders to be mindful, to do this, to do that. And why you pay for it is because you never get the same material twice.
Ooh, that's nice.
And you can chart how you feel. You can journal. You can, as a matter of fact, you can put little how you feel. And I said, oh, my God, this is great for the messages because I can use that contemplative time to update the messages and tweet them on our – I need to ask you, maybe you can text it to me later, our password for the Some of You Show Twitter account because I don't remember it, so
okay.
that I can – I'm going to start tweeting messages here and there. But it creates that space. But I'll send you the link to the app, and there's, you know, for 7 days you could do it for free. But I think I'm going to subscribe to it, and I think it's like $3.99 a month or something like that, as opposed to joining a meditation center. And I just don't want to be around people, and I'm not renewing my gym membership because it's expensive. And so just finding things to swap out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And so last night, again, I didn't fall into that default setting of getting to that word, but just crying and being upset. And of course, my son's like, I'm going to go out. I'm like, I want you to stay home. You have the test tomorrow. We can't do the same thing, whatever. And then, of course, he's just locking horns. I said, you're going to do what you're going to do anyway, so just go. And I just left.
Mm-hmm.
I just left and went to my bedroom. And thank God for the GPS. Then when it was like a little after 9 o'clock, I call him. He picks up. I'm like, you need to come home. He goes, okay, I'll come home. So he came home like 10 minutes later. And what's so crazy was that I made him something to eat, whatever, and he's watching TV with me. And all of a sudden, we're just laughing. I said, "Ooh, we haven't laughed like that." And then my older son came home because he has an audition today. So he came home, and it was just so nice to laugh with my child. And even this morning, when I said, "I don't want to deal with the school counselor calling me or you holding people up or whatever, whatever," he did manage to leave. If he leaves before the show starts, that's a good day. So he did manage to leave a little after 8 o'clock. He really should leave at 7:45, but whatever. A little after 8 o'clock. And although he was dragging and half asleep or whatever, there was a little bit of light, a little bit of lightness and a little bit of humor. So I just want to reintroduce that with my kids. Humor. So I'm hoping that the needle has moved a little bit. And the retrograde, not that we care, but the retrograde winds down on the 15th, allegedly.
Yes.
But every day is retrograde,
yes,
as far as I'm concerned. It makes no difference to me. Yeah.
Every day is retrograde. No, I'm starting to feel it's easing up a little bit.
A little bit, yeah, slightly.
Yeah, I was, I always forget. I always forget how long, when this stuff ends, these retrogrades.
Right.
In part because, it's not something that gets too crazy for me because I think in my own chart, a lot of my planets were retrograde, so it's kind of like normal.
Right, exactly. Baseline.
That's what level of crazy I'm kind of used to. But it is kind of nice because I feel like for me, taking this time, you're always good about taking time during a retrograde to reset and to clear some stuff out and to get clear for yourself. And that's what this past weekend was about, meeting the different people who are also vendors at this holistic wellness fair in Atlanta, and making some really good connections and then getting some great advice from new people and also from some friends that I just hadn't seen in a while. One of the things that I did a reading with Donna Terrazas, and she was talking about doing a vision board during my reading. And I thought, it's been a while, but she said
Me
something
too.
About
yeah.
having it be portable. And I said, there is an app that you had told me, Liz, about from Hay House, right? It was an online vision board.
Yes, I forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me.
And
I
haven't used it. I don't know if I know I downloaded it, but I don't think I did anything with it. So I may have gotten rid of it. So I have to just see if I can just download it again.
Yeah, or you could just go in the App Store and just see, what they have, vision board.
Yeah. So I think
that's a great idea. I want
to
do that too.
Yeah,
say again?
I was mentioning that to her. I was mentioning that to her about that vision board, the app. And so she thought that was a great idea. She's like, yeah. So something, because I like to take pictures, and I'm obviously not going to print that crap out because I don't even have my printer hooked up. Just don't ever use it. So I think it'd be easier just to keep it all, on one space on my phone.
Right, yeah.
So that's something I'm looking forward
to.
But there's been a lot of things that I'm kind of doing now that I got from this past weekend, and so baby steps with getting my sleep back on schedule.
Yeah.
Journaling. I'm writing in my dreams. We do have a hand raised, by the way, so I'm gonna
okay,
get this
guys.
Person caller. But I've been writing before I go to bed. That's part of my way of winding down without looking at my phone or being on my computer. I can move all that stuff away from me, and then. So I'm usually just writing to my guides, like thanking them for the day or just telling them things. If I can get help on these things, and I'm not keeping track of it. I'm just putting it out there because it's just sort of emptying some of the stuff that's in my head. But I remember writing some stuff down mentioning my brother, my estranged brother, and just saying, because he's been on my mind, and it was I think National Siblings Day, and everyone was posting,
the best, I didn't post a damn thing. Oops.
I didn't post anything either, but it made me think about that.
Yeah, but
like, made me think about my brother, and when I was with some friends the other night, one of my friends who I really hadn't seen in probably a year, she was asking me about, I think she had mentioned something about like my cat who had passed away, and then brother, you know, how's your family? And I'm talking like, oh well,
oh my god,
and how's your cousin? She's like, I have to stop asking questions now. I said, no, it's good for you to ask the questions, because I know you wouldn't have asked if you didn't want to know. And if I don't want to tell you, I would just say, well, no, you know, nothing's going on. But I said, I don't mind it. But it just made me think about that. Like, so I just put a little, like, almost like a writing a little prayer, like, you know, just checking in, just, you know, thinking about my brother. So he's in my dream, you know, and it's one of those, I'm figuring that part out. That was good. It was like, look, you know, we're paying attention. We are listening to you. We're going to give you some stuff to work on through these dreams. It had nothing to do with if he just would come forward. It's more of, you know, where have you been hiding, in your family relationships? You know, where have you just been hiding? No, it was really, really good.
Yeah, no, but that's a profound question.
Well, yeah, and it was as I was writing, as I was journaling it this morning, in that dream, I wanted to see him. I was sort of keeping tabs on them, but I didn't want to be seen. And so I thought, well, why is that? And there were a few other things in that dream. Well, you know, we can get to it at some point, but it was good. So these things that I'm sort of taking on and adjusting and integrating into my daily life has been really, really good. So the vision board is something that I think I'll probably pick up on next week.
Yeah, I'm going to do that too.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
See, that's what's great about doing the show, because you just get reminded about things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually texting you the Hay House once I found it.
Good.
Yeah. And let's take this call.
Yes. This is area code 270. Good morning. You're on the air. Who is this?
Good morning. My name is Joy.
Talking with you before.
Yes.
Yes.
How are you? Pretty good. How are you all?
Oh, we're amazing. Anyway, so what's going on, darling?
Nothing much. I was wondering if I could get like a
message
rating.
Let's load up the database of messages. I'll tell you when it's up. Okay, so if you remember, Joy, you'll hear some music. Say the word pick so I can hear you, and you're going to pick your message. Okay, got it?
Okay.
Okay, stand by. I'm ready when you guys are. Okay, the number for this is a two-digit number, which is rare, is 58. And Joy, this is the message that you picked for yourself. Very interesting. And the message is, knowing that you are not obligated to be on, quote-unquote, to be validated by others, is not only liberating, but a step towards self-acceptance and wholeness. So meaning for you to put on a different version of yourself to accommodate other people, is that you're at the point where it's like that's not working anymore, and that you are heading toward freeing yourself. I'll read it again. Knowing that you are not obligated to be on, to be validated by others, is not only liberating, but a step toward self-acceptance and wholeness. 58. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, that's kind of the way that I've been working towards lately, just kind of doing what I want.
Well, that's good. So the fact that we, Elisa and I certainly aren't aware of that, you picked the message. So that is reassured that for you to get that message tells you that you're at a place of strength. to receive it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I'm going to turn it over to Lisa to see what she gets from the number.
Well, the 5, the 58, the 5 and the 8 are fairly powerful numbers. 8 definitely. 5 has this capacity to change things up. I mean, it is about change. 5 is saying go beyond what your comfort zone normally is because you are stretching and growing. And so the 5 kind of brings in some unexpected surprises. And sometimes the surprises are really, really welcome. And sometimes you're like, I was not thinking that was going to go that way. So sometimes it can be a little bit of a challenge when you have these interesting things pop up with a 5 energy or that with that number 5. But it in the end, what happens is it makes you look at the situation and most likely yourself from a different perspective than what you're used to seeing. So this acknowledgement of where you are now is huge because a lot of times we don't tend to evaluate, you know, what our life circumstance is in the moment and how far we've come to get here. Sometimes we still view ourselves from some very old filters of, you know, what people are expecting of us. It's usually what happens is, well, I can't do that because what would people say translates into, well, that's what people want from me. And who am I to change that? Because for whatever reason, even though it's kind of uncomfortable, you're sort of used to it. So there's a little bit more comfort than discomfort. And when we get to a 5, we kind of knock all of that out, all of those preconceived notions, because not everyone gets to see all of you. And sometimes we don't even acknowledge all of who we are. So, but we're the closest ones to it. You know, we're the ones that really get to, if we really look and open our eyes, we'll see that. So when we allow that 5 energy to make us go in directions that we normally would not, for whatever reason, usually it's out of fear, out of a sense of self and maybe some safety issues. Sometimes the circumstances don't let you think too much about that. You have to do it. And then you realize you can do it or that you just did it. So the progression is pretty strong. And then when you get to that 8, that 8 is saying, look at what you manifested because of it, you know, in spite of your fears, in spite of your misgivings, in spite of you thinking you probably couldn't do it because that's what you were told from a young age. The 8 is saying you're still manifesting regardless. But when you're manifesting and you're knowing what you're doing, you're owning that. That's the power. That allows you to not only attain it, but then to feel good about what you've done versus feeling guilty because, oh, I think I made somebody feel bad or someone was a little uncomfortable because I was doing well. I don't want to shine too brightly. There's a little bit of, you know, there's always some issue with what somebody else may feel, and you can't change how they're going to take something. You don't know how they're going to take something. Sometimes you think it's a great gift and they hate it, you know. So you just have to let it go. But that 5 and the 8 together, very big dynamic, own it kind of numbers. Because when you're in the flow and you know you're doing well, you're not thinking about, oh, if I make somebody feel bad. Because you're not taking on that kind of responsibility.
Right.
You're allowing the other people to take their own responsibility. For however they read a story that you love and they don't like it, you're not going to feel bad that you made them read a story because you didn't. You know, they figured they'd read it. That was their opinion. You can leave it, and that's fine. So what happens when you have this 5 and an 8, you are now creating a new, like a new structure for yourself, a new process of doing things, because it ends up equaling a 4. If you add up the 5 and the 8, it's a 13. The 1 and the 3 equal a 4. These are new disciplines for you. So you're establishing better habits that are more appropriate for who you are now. And so there is going to be a little bit of awkwardness because it's something new. I've used this before where, you know, if you're trying on some new clothes and you're trying on some different patterns, sometimes the patterns are just so, they're so different from what you're used to seeing on yourself that you think, oh, I don't look good, you know? And maybe, you know, it's just a matter of getting comfortable because some people, again, now you're listening to other people who are like, oh, my gosh, you know, that looks fantastic on you. And you're like, oh, it's not me. But maybe it's just not you yet, you know. But the fact that you're trying on something different, you're trying to see yourself differently, it's a little give and take in knowing what to let in from other people, because that's just their opinion of you. Oh, that looks great, or ooh, that doesn't look good. But if it matches with what you're feeling, instead of dictating how you're feeling, then that's something to that. So if it matches where you're like, well, it looks okay, like you're just not used to it, and someone says, oh my God, it looks fantastic, you'll probably lean more in the way of, well, maybe I'll get it and I'll try it on and try it in some different situations. But you know, that wasn't because someone said you have to get this, and you still have these major misgivings. You'll know that you won't get it. If it really isn't you, you won't get it. So you're making these better distinctions for yourself, and you're using other people's opinions to work in your favor versus letting them boss you around. And it starts with you knowing who you are. So, great message.
Nice.
For you.
Good message. So you're on the, you keep doing what you're doing. You're on the right track, and don't question yourself when you're rewiring your brain to go in the direction of solidarity within yourself. So when you feel together, meaning internally, you're on the right track. If you feel put upon or split, your focus is split, that's letting you know, that's your spirit source self letting you know you're off track. So in the way that I was, I don't know if you were listening to us before, but in the way that I was talking about how I was just sick of, like, you know, hysterical crying every day and just what, how all this drama was affecting me, and that I was getting more and more into meditation to become detached so that I wasn't identifying with my circumstances, and all the circumstances really haven't changed, but I'm getting more together synergistically within myself and then discovering other options that I'm not used to, like humor. And that, using that in a fake way, just creating the space to see what arises. So in creating that space that I wasn't, you know, on my knees crying hysterical or feeling like my life was over, I just created space. And I didn't put any conditions on it. So it's really working smarter, not harder, Joy. Just creating that space to see, to discover in present time awareness where you're going to be led. And as long as you just pay attention and you let go, you'll be led. And you're being led right now. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. All of it.
Girl.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Good. That's good. Then you made our day, and that's the benefit. So that as we're receiving, the fact that you responded in such an affirmative way, so know that you're contributing. That there's a ripple effect to wellness. Does that make sense too?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So if you start, so if you start with considering your wellness, there will be a ripple effect that others will benefit. I'm learning that the hard way, like blindfolded, gagged, in jail, throw away the key, escape room, panic room. Like, I'm learning that the hard, yeah. But that really is the result. So, good for you. Well, don't be a stranger, honey. Stay in touch with us.
I will. Thank you all very much.
All right, darling. Of course. We appreciate you. Thank you, darling.
You're welcome, Joy. Right. Take care.
Yeah.
All right. I'll put her on mute so she can always listen in, continue listening to the show. I like that message. I like those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we tend to take in so much of the opinions of others. I mean, that's just how, you know, that's how we were brought up. You know, it's,
mm-hmm,
but those are the influences. And at various points in our adult life, we shed a lot of that, or we put all of those notions through the ringer. We try to see what's really sticking here, because so much of it, and at least in my family, so much of it was wrapped up in fear, fear of what other people may say, Yep. And having to add another layer of protection, you know, around the kids or around our babies. And yep. You know, so now we don't have to be as protected because we've come into our own and we have our voices and we have certain skills already, a sense of knowing who we are. And we haven't always had a chance to express it. But as you get older, you know, obviously you get more and more opportunities to do that. But sometimes we still associate ourselves with that younger child, you know, the kid. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while to reconcile that. I mean, the dynamics with me and my parents and my mother in particular, it took a lot of traveling, which is a great way.
Amazing.
It's a great way to do that. It took a lot of traveling together as an adult. For me, to break out of that idea and reinforcing that dynamic of, well, you are always going to be the baby, you know, that little girl,
right?
But you're also super smart, so we need you to figure out these problems too. But you're still a little girl.
Yeah, so you're meeting each other on a much more even. I know it's so confusing. On a much more even playing field, it's like pick a lane.
Right.
Stupid. And I'm mentally challenged because,
Stupid and helpless, right.
Stupid and
helpless,
right. Or you did such a good job with me. Pick one.
Right.
Pick one. It took me dealing with this divorce for me to really break those power. It's so funny. You and I are always the same and such completely different narratives, but the same experience. It's crazy. It
mm-hmm.
took you to travel. It took my marriage to end. To really just shake up everything and completely redefine and reconfigure the relationship. Because there are things in my experience that she has gone through in a toxic marriage or being a mom and that the other siblings haven't. So,
right.
Yeah, and we raw and real. You know, if I can tell my mother the last time I had sex, and I did actually told her that, if I can... I did. I'm like, you know, let's go into the archives, but that's not the point. Let's do some carbon testing. Okay. We're going to do some carbon testing on that because we can't. Oh, I think there's some cave paintings of me saying, get away. No, I have a headache. But I love that I'm not really desiring that right now because let's just complicate a girl's life.
Right.
So, oh, girl. Like, God bless Anna that she's in a relationship, but that's like the last thing I would ever want to experience right now. But then again, I'm with the kids. It might be different if she had the kids. So I get it. If I didn't have the kids, maybe I'd have three boyfriends by now. Who knows? I get it.
Maybe.
I understand because it's so painful to not be with your kids. I get it. But the fact that where sex was never really, I think like we got a book. No, there was a book when we were like in junior high or something, middle school. There was a book that all of a sudden showed up like, oh, okay, let's read this. Okay. Never really had the sex talk or any of it. I got my period. I figured it out. You know, I didn't tell her I got my period. I just figured it out. No, I was very old to get it. 15. Who gets a period of 15?
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's anyway, I digress. But the fact that I can have those kind of conversations or to say, did you ever feel X, Y, and Z when your kids did da 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 da? Did you? She's like, yep. Did you ever feel? Yeah. And that to redefine an adult relationship. To put another lease on that life, perhaps a blessing with all of this is that my mother feels a sense of support and a more profound sense of purpose, especially since she has grandchildren from me, and we're the only grandkids because the other siblings didn't have kids, that she's more invested, she cooks for us, whatever it is. But to find the therapeutic benefit, so for you to have gotten to that place, that it's through travel, and that you see each other differently, that's miraculous. What a gift. What a gift for both of us.
And I think of it this way, too. Excuse me, as you were talking, was the same thing where if circumstances were different, let's say, you know, I did have, you know, a partner and probably kids at this time. Like, I don't know if I would have had that kind of relationship with my parents.
Probably not.
You know? But what's interesting is that even my oldest brother, he pretty much has decided he was never going to bring a kid into this world because it's just too crazy. So he sort of has his own lifestyle. He doesn't, you know, he just Mr. Playboy, you know, just doesn't want to have any kind
of. Well, I give him credit for that.
Well, yeah. Well, no,
there's
a
lot of guys.
It was interesting.
Yeah,
it was interesting because even with the at that point, in fact, at that time, he was still in school. Like he was, you know, on that extra few years extra track for college, but he was dating a woman who already had a kid.
What?
And he was, you know, yeah.
Oh, yeah. How old was he?
He was in his 20s, late 20s, well, mid 20s, late 20s, because I was in school, so maybe mid to late 20s.
Okay.
I was dating a woman who was older and had a kid in maybe, you know, elementary school, middle school. So he was he was helping out there, like with picking up from school or whatever, but he had told me, he's like, I just can't imagine having a kid, you know, like I wouldn't want to bring a kid into this world.
I don't agree with it, but I get it. Yeah.
Whereas my other brother, he was married for a while, and they were hoping to have kids.
Right.
And I think he would probably really like to have kids.
Well, he still could.
And he still could. So,
yeah.
So, but those are the dynamics. None of us have kids, and I, you know, too much to the chagrin of my mother, who. It was cutting out Dear Abby articles and, you know, kind of passively aggressively putting them on the refrigerator. So when we come by and visit, it's all about how she has so much love to give. And if only she had grandkids.
That's a
two.
No, she doesn't. That's a scene in a movie. That is hysterical. That is so funny.
I mean, she's always wanted to have grandkids.
Of course.
Of course, she has these three kids who are just on such wildly different paths.
Right.
That, you know, the chances of her having a kid that's actually, you know, of her blood, probably fairly slim now.
Well, you don't know. I mean, there's still hope. You never know. There's still hope for your brother, and you know your life isn't over yet. You just don't. The twists and the turns. But look, my mother gave birth to four, so she had three. She'd be in your mother's boat. So and I was the whoops baby. Hello. She conceived me like when my sister was like 2 months old. I don't think so. Anyway, I'm totally the whoops. But thank God she had the whoops because I have two children. And I know she loves being a grandmother. Like, that's something that's very fulfilling. So I get it. But sometimes it's not in the cards. It's not entirely uncommon. But your brother seems to be in a very happy relationship. They very well could have children. So, yeah, we just don't know how things are going to play out. And, listen, I've been telling you for a couple of years now, you're going to meet somebody. And I mean, I don't know where the relationship is going to go, but I feel like you're going to meet a woman that has children. Now, I don't know how old they could be grown children. They could be – I have no idea. She could have custody of them. She could not have – I have no idea. I've just been feeling that for a minute. But then again, I knew I knew Anna and Stephanie were done like 10 years ago. So I knew that.
That's crazy.
Knows how long things take. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, the dynamics with my parents that has, I mean, and with each of the kids for me, I figured it out that when we are all traveling, cause that's something we actually used to do as a family, we would drive
right
to different places. And it was a different way for us to bond. I mean, you know, it certainly evolved from packing everything in the kitchen into some coolers and then, you know, going out in the camper, pitching some tents and being out in the wilderness. Because we never stayed in hotels. I don't think we stayed with family members or we camped.
Oh, my God.
And then when we got into traveling, like to go to like timeshare, we didn't go out to eat. We cooked all our meals in that little kitchenette. You know, we didn't go out to eat. We just did our thing. It was like, you know, this was just a smaller home than
upgrade.
What we're used to.
Right.
Yeah. So it's very interesting how having those kinds of memories as a child, and then like as you would say, upgrade to adult memories with
luxury
with the family.
European cruises. Thank you, Iceland.
Yeah.
Thank you. Norway, thank you. The rings of Saturn, thank you. Like, this girl has got everything. Brazil. She is a world traveler. And how fabulous to share that with your parents. How beautiful.
Yeah. Well, my dad is looking at, he was looking at an Asian cruise that was going to be for like 33 days. He does this to me. Like, he sends some ideas out to me. And you know, I have to be very careful if I say, "Oh, that looks good," because he'll book it right away.
Yeah, he's gonna get the ticket for you, right?
And I'm like, "Well, wait a minute." So I think the way I worded it, because he was looking to do this in November, mid-November, and I said, "Dad, I have a trip already planned with the cousins for a week, and I get back."
Oh, you
went to
Iceland again, right?
Yeah, I go back. I get back November 4th, and you want it 10 days later. You want me to, you know, take a flight and get on the ship or get back in mid-December. I said, I'm going to need more breathing room than that. And I said, it looks great. The price looks fantastic. But I just don't know if I can, if I can justify doing all that. Such a quick turnaround time. I said, someone's got to run a business at some point, and I don't know if that's enough time. So he did some more research and he said, well, I didn't see positive reviews of their service. So even though it's a really good price, I hadn't seen any good reviews online. So he was very wary of that. I said, well, maybe there's another one that's better. That's from a reputable company that, you know.
Yeah. You can't be held hostage for 33 days. Oh my God. Can you imagine? Like you guys are like in bunk beds. On a box spring, no mattress. No, you don't know. You're in the middle of the ocean. They got no snacks.
It was a very full schedule. And I think what he was reading were, and this, I love this because my dad's numbers, like he's very research oriented. He's very scientific,
so
very logical.
Yeah.
So when he picks out these trips, like he looks at everything. And my brothers all have very similar numbers too, where they do a lot of research before they make a purchase. You know, so they totally geek out.
Informed decision.
And, sometimes I just ask them because I don't have the time to do it. I'm like, hey, what do you think about
capacitor? Oh, I love that.
You know,
I
and they're
like
that's,
That's like Consumer Reports. Why get the magazine and call that person?
They already have an opinion on all of
this.
They've
done it.
All
right,
good.
Right.
Perfect.
Thank you.
So my dad is doing his research, but he just knows, and I'm glad he does this because we've had our own bit of traveling, obviously, and like, Dad, you know, you've got to give more than just an hour between layovers. Like, that's just not physically possible for all of us to.
Just the reality, right.
If anything is off by even 5 minutes, that makes us late, you know,
Yes.
You miss a flight, you miss a boat. So he said, yeah, that was one of the concerns, one of the reviews was that
Get stressed like that.
If something is off, like the customer service wasn't there to help remedy it. And I'm like, you know, even though it's a great price, that's still a lot of money to pay, and you want it to be taken care of. You want to know
that's what you're paying for. Right.
That's handling all this, that has organized it in a way that minimizes those kinds of issues, and that they have the support and the response to take care of it. So we'll see what happens. He's still kind of looking. He doesn't want to go back to some place that we've already. He's like, well, we need to go someplace new. I said, well, I don't know where else you guys can go because you think I've world traveled. My parents have pretty much hit every place except for maybe Africa. And parts of, you know, there's some parts they haven't had a chance to go to, and they don't know if it's safe to go there.
Right.
Given the type of situation, the cruise may not be the best way to go off the coast of Somalia. You know what I'm saying? I said, well, I don't know what you guys are looking at, but, you know, let me know. Just don't, you know, pick a month where it's maybe, you know, there's some breathing room for me.
Yeah. How
have all these different demands.
I know. Really. And make sure that I'm in the princess suite with a memory foam mattress. I shall bring my peas. I shall bring my English peas.
But he said, I was telling him about the trip to Iceland and how we're, you know, my cousins and I had been working out some of the details. And and I said, Dad, I tell you what, I'm excited about the trip, but I really appreciate traveling with you because so many of these details are taken care of.
Right.
You know, like, because of the nature of the types of travel he likes to do, he likes cruises. So automatically we know where we're going to stay. We know what we're going to eat. The rest of it is just you show up, you have your clothes, you know, you're ready to go.
Just show up.
If you want to go on an excursion, you figure that out then. Meanwhile, you know, Iceland, we're having to deal with a lot of different personalities and levels of travel.
Oof.
And, you know, we've got to find hotels.
It's unpredictable.
You know, there's a lot that I've been looking at, and I'm like, wow, none of this. And I don't know. I still don't know where, you know, I don't know how the food situation is going to be because, you know, that basically means we have to save up a bunch of money because we're probably going to be eating out a lot, you know. And I'm like, crap, it's really expensive there.
I want to go with Daddy.
Dad,
that's really what it comes down
like,
to. It's all taken care of.
The ship ready.
I don't blame you.
Harbor and I can go there.
Really. Exactly. I want some melon wrap prosciutto done. You know what I mean? Like it's there. Girl. Oh, that. How beautiful. A dream of, speaking of travel, a dream of mine is to go on safari and to take Jeremiah to like the safest part of Africa, obviously, to do that.
Oh, wow.
I really want to do that in this lifetime before I'm too old to do it. I really, really want to do it. I know I talk like I'm 85. I always do that, but that's okay because I feel it. That it would be so beautiful.
Mm.
Yeah.
That would be an adventure.
Yeah. I have a contact who has family in Kenya, so I could always like look them up and figure it out. And a very dear friend of mine, Sabelle, who's also a world traveler, and she is a cinematographer, and she adores Jeremiah. I would love to do that with her. I would love for as many people that wanted to do that to do that. And thank you, Black Panther, for sparking that Afrocentric pride. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I would really love to take Jeremiah to the motherland. I think it would be amazing. So anyway.
Did you ever do an ancestor DNA?
I want to do that, but then I don't want to find out like he's Dominican. You know what I mean? Just kidding. I was actually thinking of that. The 23andMe is, the best one, right?
Okay. I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Yeah. 23andMe is the one that I believe goes the most in depth with all of the cultural origination. So. Yeah,
cool.
I'm going to do that at some point. With, I know my crazy DNA, but yeah, it'd be fun for maybe Jeremiah and myself to do it. Be very interesting. Maybe we'll all do it. I don't know how expensive it is, but yeah, I definitely want to do that. And it would be really funny if it was like, no, you're Dominican. I'm like, okay. I knew you were Latin. Hello, we're the same. We'll see how that turns out. Oh, my God. So it is, wow, the show went by so fast. So
yep.
Nobody needs us, correct? So we're done?
No, we're good. We're good.
Yes. That was, it was so nice not to be like all shell-shocked. Circumstances change, but you can reset. So anyway, that's the theme of this show. So if you guys need to get a hold, thank goodness, because, Chad, I'm tired. If you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Radio on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. This particular show is scheduled to be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Thank you, my love. Thank you, everybody, for a great show. And looking forward to brighter days. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye, girl. Bye.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me, yeah. Tell me something good. Tell me that.